Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including your movie.
Josh Bell hates everything.
Except me.
Hello and welcome to the Josh Bell Hates Everything podcast. I'm Josh Bell, contributing editor and film critic for Las Vegas Weekly. And joining me this week is Las Vegas Weekly managing editor Ken Miller. Thank you for being here.
Great to be here.
And you always show up to see bad movies. It always ends up, you're quite the trooper. I always say, Ken, do you want to come see this movie? And it turns out to be something horrible. So
well, it's almost kind of like the way you can determine if a movie is bad or not is if I've been to see it.
Yeah. But the good thing is, finally, and this may be the first time that you've been on this podcast and seen something good with me, which is The Hangover, opening this week. And
I take that back. I have seen one movie before that I liked, but you didn't. This is the first time that we both liked a movie.
Yes. So this is a momentous occasion.
Absolutely.
A landmark in the history
Mark
of the
it on
podcast.
The calendar.
Absolutely. So The Hangover, well, this is obviously a big deal here in Vegas because this movie was shot here. It's set here. It's all about Vegas. It's kind of a commercial for the excitement of Las Vegas in a lot of ways, I think. It's about these three guys played by Bradley Cooper and Ed Helms from The Office and Zach Galifianakis, the stand-up comedian. They come to Vegas for a bachelor party, and their friend, the groom, disappears. They wake up the night or the morning after their bachelor party. They can't remember what happened. They're hungover, as per the title. They've lost this guy, and they got to go find him. And this is, I think, a pretty funny movie. I liked it.
Totally agree. I was very surprised.
Yeah, I was surprised too, because I think Todd Phillips, the director, and I think sort of uncredited co-writer on here, has made a few comedies which I didn't really care for. Old School, which a lot of people do really like, but I thought
I was kind of indifferent to Old School. I mean, it had its moments, but
no, it was
nothing like this.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. I thought that was just a little that was too broad and over the top and vulgar. And then he did School for Scoundrels was his last movie, which was, yeah, it was pretty much a waste. So I didn't expect that much from this movie. And I liked it. I think you liked it maybe more than I did.
I honestly cannot remember laughing that much in the movie, probably since Something About Mary.
Yeah,
I think that was the last time I laughed that hard in a movie.
That was like, what? 10, 15
a long
years
ago? Time
ago? Yeah, that is a long time. You don't have enough humor in your life, Kent.
I'm trying to find it. This is the story that I tell everybody that I've been talking to about this movie, is that in all the screenings that you and I go to, there's a big, burly, beefy, bald guy in a tux who stands at the bottom of the theater.
The security guy.
And,
right.
And scans the crowd constantly to see if everyone's, you know, behaving themselves and not taping the movie illegally. And always, you know, it's just a scowl on his face to intimidate people. Well, in every other movie we've been to, you know, he's been busy scanning the crowd with his little infrared camera. And this time, every time I looked at this guy, he was looking at the screen and just busting a gut laughing.
Yeah.
And that to me, you know, is kind of indicative of the effect this movie will have on the average moviegoer. I mean, he obviously wasn't there to see the movie, but he ended up,
he
I think, enjoying it as
much
as we did.
Got drawn into it anyway, yeah.
It's one of those movies that I don't want to say too much about because I don't want to hype it up to the point where you're thinking it's the greatest comedy ever made. But it is very funny, very surprising.
Yeah. I mean, I will.
And great chemistry.
They do have, yeah. I think that's one of the big things. So I'll temper your enthusiasm a little. I laughed at this movie. I don't know if I laughed more at this movie than any movie in 15 years, but I did enjoy it. I didn't think it was spectacular necessarily. I think it's a solid, funny comedy. It's about as good as I Love You, Man, I think, from earlier this year, which was another movie that I thought was funny. And I think a lot of it really does come down to that chemistry, that it was really refreshing to see these actors who are – they're not unfamiliar faces at all, but they're not the same – sort of Will Ferrell, Judd Apatow team of players that we see in almost every mainstream comedy these days.
Which is actually one thing that I appreciated.
Absolutely.
I do like that, but it starts to wear thin after a while, I think. I mean, we kind of need a little variety and get those guys, you know, maybe split up for the next movie they do.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, no, I completely agree, and I think that was why it was refreshing to see these different guys. And they don't have their own. I think a lot of those guys, Will Ferrell especially, or Vince Vaughn, who are the stars of Old School, they have a sort of standard shtick that's been calcified. And these guys don't have that. And so they bring a different level to this movie.
They brought almost no baggage to the movie.
Right.
Because you really don't. And surprisingly, you should, because Bradley Cooper's been around for a long time.
True. But I mean, he's not necessarily just a comedic actor. He's done a lot of dramatic work. And so he's got a bit more range, I think.
Yeah. Bradley Cooper falls into the category of stars that you know who they are, but you don't know their name.
Right. He is
I think
familiar.
That may change after this movie.
Yeah. I think he was in Wedding Crashers. Mm-hmm. And I know him from watching Alias for all that time. Yeah.
And I think Zach Galifianakis might fall into the same category because he's been around for a long time. Actually, I think almost 15 years.
Probably. I mean, he's been a stand-up comedian for quite some time.
And he's done some fringe TV work and, you know, and he's been in a few movies. But I think, likewise, he is one of those guys that, you know, I think will become very well known after this movie comes out.
I think this is definitely a big vehicle for him.
I mean, it says a lot when Ed Helms is the guy that most people will recognize in the movie.
Right, who's not exactly
because he's in the Office.
Yeah,
right.
And was on The Daily Show. But yeah, Zach Galifianakis I thought was really funny in this movie and
stole the movie.
Absolutely.
Outright.
And his style of humor is very different from that Will Ferrell, Vince Vaughn style that we're used to.
It's so different it's almost impossible to describe. I mean, you really just have to see the movie to understand how this man's humor works, and it is very funny.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's very deadpan, very, very absurd and skewed, and I liked that a lot. I felt like some of the moments still in this movie were maybe a little too broad, and of course it's Todd Phillips, so the female characters are pretty much non-entities and stereotypes, and it makes Vegas seem fun and exciting, but of course it is every Vegas cliche is why it's fun and exciting, with the gambling and the strippers. In fact, I think that's maybe the only woman they meet in this movie is a stripper played by Heather Graham.
Right.
And that stuff is, I mean, you can't get too upset about it, because I suppose it's expected from a movie like this. But at the same time, I don't think this movie is any sort of brilliant reinvention of cliches. It's just a solid, funny execution of not super original story. But I mean, I don't want to say bad. I think it's a funny movie. But
no, I'm not laughing at that. I like to think of this movie as three guys who shouldn't be in Vegas who go to Vegas.
Right.
And basically try to work their way out of a really bad situation. And, you know, and the humor is, again, I think the chemistry between the leads. I mean, you just have some great byplay between the three of them. The fourth actor is basically non-existent through the whole movie, so can't say much about him. But the only criticism I would have for this movie is that it doesn't really sustain the level of humor for the entire film. I think the final 20 minutes, it starts to kind of lose a little gas.
Right. Well, you got to wrap up all the plot threads and stuff
right.
like that.
And I think a lot of that is just, you know, you got to stop the movie sometime.
Yeah.
But also, sustaining that level of humor is not easy.
Yeah.
I mean, humor is difficult. So,
yeah.
But I can't really fault the movie. It's something you should see.
Yeah.
And see in a theater with a lot of people.
Yeah. That always is fun. I think that helps if you're enjoying it. I hate the experience of sitting in a theater and thinking this is the least funny piece of crap and everyone around you is laughing and that's unpleasant. But if you enjoy it,
speaking of which,
we'll get to that.
We'll get
in
to
a
that
moment.
Later.
But yeah, I think it is fun to get, you get sort of swept up in the excitement and enthusiasm of an audience. So yeah, I agree with you. Despite the criticisms, I think this is a funny movie. It's entertaining. It's a little different from every other mainstream comedy that's out right now. And I definitely think it's worth seeing. I give it 3.5 out of 5 stars, and that's a recommendation from me. Absolutely.
That's about what I would give it. And, one final note on The Hangover, everyone will obviously be staying for the credits. One of the funniest credit sequences I've ever seen.
Yeah, there's a lot of funny stuff. The still photos that show up during the credits.
I don't say this often, but I'm actually looking forward to going to see it again.
All right. So that is high praise. That is definitely high praise. And so let's go from one end of the spectrum to another. And speaking of Will Ferrell, who was one of the stars of Old School and is – I think he was also in Starsky and Hutch, which is another Todd Phillips movie. So he's definitely – worked with Todd Phillips a lot, but he's also got his own movie out this week, which is Land of the Lost, based on the cult classic TV series from the 1970s, which was also remade. And the one I remember from when I was a kid was a 1990s version, which was also a Saturday morning. It's a live action show, but it was always a Saturday morning kind of kids thing about this family that goes through a wormhole or a time warp or something, and they ended up in this weird alternate land. It's not really the past, and there's dinosaurs and stuff, but there's also these lizard-like people called Sleestaks, and there's these monkey people, and so on and so forth. So that is where this new movie takes place as well, in this land. But instead of the family, for some reason, they've decided to reconfigure the story as not a family film at all, and which I think is an interesting thing, because this seems to be marketed as a family, kid-friendly film.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's clearly not, despite being based on a kids' TV show and featuring cute monkey people and whatever. It's decidedly not for kids. Will Ferrell plays a scientist who's researching these wormhole whatever things, and Anna Friel is another scientist or a graduate student who's the only one who believes his theory, and so they go to this cave to investigate the something energy or whatever, and Danny McBride is there playing the exact same character he's played in every single movie and TV show he's ever been in, as this sort of vulgar redneck.
Does Danny McBride have a watch? Because I think the 15 minutes are officially up.
I think so, too. And this is a guy who has so quickly gone from like, hey, have you heard about this guy? He's kind of this underground sensation, and he did this small indie film, and then he had small parts in these other films, and people are excited he's going to be the next big thing. And he's just so one note. And so all three of them end up in the Land of the Lost, and they have to defeat the whatever. The plot in this movie makes no sense. And they just keep throwing in plot twists as if you're going to care that the bad guy turned out to be the good guy or whatever. It's just ridiculous. And Leonard Nimoy, who voices one of these things.
The Varn or what,
Zarn,
the Zarn,
I
whatever
mean,
it's called.
Yeah, it's
I don't
kind
know.
Of sad.
That
to
doesn't
from,
matter.
Go from Star Trek to this.
I don't care if I never remember one single detail of this movie.
No, I would like to forget all of the details about this movie, if at all possible.
Without a doubt, the most inept movie of the year. And that's high praise, because I've seen some really inept movies this year,
yeah,
as you pointed out earlier.
Yes.
I have no idea who this movie was made for.
Right.
It certainly is not made for kids, and it certainly isn't for adults. Nobody is really designed to enjoy this movie, which is sad, because it's being marketed as a kids' film. And I can't imagine that Matt Lauer, who's featured in this movie, who has young children, would take his kids to see this film.
Yeah, it would be punishment. Maybe if they misbehaved, he could take them to this film.
Some of the more adult humor that I've heard in a long time. I mean, I'm not a prude, but the screening that you and I went to was primarily children.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I mean, I don't mind. Obviously, The Hangover is full of incredibly vulgar humor, and you would never want to
but
take
you
your
expect
children
that.
To that. Right.
Yeah, you expect that.
Right.
And here, it's just... It's just incredibly inappropriate and weird.
It is weird, but not in a good way.
No. I mean, it just I have no idea what anybody was thinking on this movie. I think the director had short-term memory loss and forgot what movie he was making from one scene to the next, because
yeah,
there's no continuity,
right,
in this movie. There's no sense of structure. I think he just turned the camera on and let everyone do whatever they wanted to do.
Yeah. It is sad, because you're right. You don't understand like what they're going for, not even just in terms of their audience, but like what kind of story are they trying to tell? Is this a parody of the cheesy Land of the Lost TV series? Is it a serious blockbuster type action movie? I mean, it clearly had a very large budget. It has lots of special effects in it, which are kind of dicey, but they look expensive. And I just don't know what kind of movie is this for Will Ferrell fans, or I don't know, but
well. I'm a Will Ferrell fan.
Yeah.
I consider myself a Will.
Yeah.
I've seen most of his movies. I even liked Semi-Pro somewhat.
Oh, okay.
So you know where I'm coming from. I give him a lot of leeway.
Yeah.
But this is it. I mean, this is the end of the road for him in terms of that kind of shtick. I mean, he'll get projects from this point on. That's not an issue. But the guy needs a wake-up call. That it's,
yeah,
you know, sometimes you just got to turn the improvisation off and actually get down to business,
right,
of making a movie that people will want to see.
Although I don't know how much improvisation there really is, because I think that's the big appeal for a lot of Will Ferrell stuff, is that he just kind of riffs on whatever. And in a movie like this, which does have a lot of big set pieces and special effects and whatever, you can't really just turn on the camera and let Will Ferrell go.
But that's exactly how it seemed, though.
I mean, in parts it seems like that. But, you know, if he's being chased by a dinosaur or whatever, he can't improv, I don't
think.
Well,
of course, right. But, so, yeah. Well, and then, of course, the little lapses in logic, such as the whoever the woman archaeologist was, who within two scenes is speaking Chaka's language.
Right, Chaka, the monkey person thing that they encounter.
And interpreting for him.
Right, which does not yet.
And the fact that they needed the tachyon machine to get to the Land of the Lost, yet an ice cream truck driver just randomly falls in,
right,
there.
Right, and all sorts of random things just show up in the Land of the Lost. And
which then leads to another completely inappropriate scene of violence that doesn't belong,
oh, right,
in this
I
movie
totally
at all.
I forgot about that, yeah. There is a lot of – and I think in a movie like this – it's okay if there are certain bits that don't make sense, because obviously they're traveling through a time warp to the land of the lost. It's not realistic. But when everything else is so awful, you do sort of like grab onto those things and you notice them more. And if you were laughing the whole time, you wouldn't really pay attention to like, well, this didn't make a whole lot of sense. But that's all you're left with is the plot, and the plot is ridiculous. It was very frustrating. And I'm kind of fed up with Will Ferrell. I didn't like Semi-Pro, and I didn't even like Step Brothers. And Step Brothers is, that's a pure Will Ferrell, him just doing his shtick the whole time, which I thought was a little, was maybe the problem with it. It was just all runaway, unfettered shtick. But I definitely think he needs to take a new tack or get a new agent or something, figure out a new strategy for his career, because this stuff is tarnishing what I thought was some really funny stuff he did earlier on in his career.
Yeah, the unfortunate thing here too is that I think this is going to be, at least for the first weekend, a huge hit, which
I don't know.
To me is just a tragedy.
But I don't know if it's going to be a huge hit. I think they're, because of the muddled marketing, and especially because there's a lot of other popular good stuff that's come out in the last few weeks. If you wanted to take your kids to something, you could go see Up. You could go see Star Trek if you want some exciting action. You could go see The Hangover if you want to see something funny. I mean, I think there are better options for any kind of movie that you might think this would be. And I think those are all have better reviews and better word of mouth, and I think people are going to be more likely to go see that. I could be wrong, but I don't think this is going to be a huge hit.
Well, I hope you're right. I mean, and that's an excellent point. If you're, you know, a parent and you want to go see a family movie, go see Up again, because right. Pixar knows how to make movies for children and adults. This movie is for neither.
Yes,
I mean, agree. Quite honestly, just I turned to you at some point in the screening and I said, who was this movie made for?
Right, right.
I still have no idea.
I don't either.
I don't think they do.
No, and that's the biggest problem, that they don't seem to have any idea what kind of movie they're trying to make. I would give this, I think, 1.5 stars.
This might be the first time this year, maybe except for Bride Wars, I'm going with 0.
Wow.
There wasn't one redeeming aspect of this entire movie.
That is harsh.
I've heard some people say they like Matt Lauer at the beginning and end. I didn't even care for that.
Even poor Matt Lauer, like the most likable man in America.
Well, but he kind of plays a dick in this movie.
Yeah,
and again, that's like, why would you do that? I mean, Matt Lauer could have just played it straight and would have been fine, but he does this slow burn thing that just didn't work at all for me.
No.
So anyway.
Yeah, so don't waste your time with that, but do check out The Hangover. And coming out on DVD this coming Tuesday is a movie that did really well at in the latter part of last year, and was it nominated for Oscars? I don't remember.
I don't believe so, which I actually predicted. I liked it. This is the movie we were talking about, actually. This is the one that I liked and you didn't.
Oh, okay.
I didn't foresee this getting any Oscars, but I did enjoy it.
And but it did get, I think, a lot of other nominations for Golden Globes.
It's Gran Torino.
Gran Torino, right. Yes, leading up to saying that was.
Sorry.
That's okay. Gran Torino, starring Clint Eastwood and directed by Clint Eastwood, which is allegedly his final performance as an actor. And yeah, I didn't care for this movie, although a lot of people did. I just thought it was super hokey and poorly acted and really cliched and predictable and almost like a parody of itself.
Yeah, and you know how I feel. I love Clint Eastwood, followed his career forever. And I kind of saw this as, I watched it more as a swan song because I knew going in that it was his last movie. So I think I watched it a little more lovingly than I might have had I not known that. But still, I had a good time. I mean, I enjoyed it. I wept a little bit, and I had the movie experience, and I appreciate what Eastwood has tried to do for the movies in general. I think he's a consummate filmmaker and has left an indelible mark on the cinema, and I think he deserves some props for that.
Well, I absolutely agree with you on that front. I think Clint Eastwood is incredibly talented and a valuable figure in cinema history. He's a great director. He's a great actor. I just think people took all those feelings and transferred them to this movie, but that it didn't deserve them. And I think he's made great movies recently. I think Letters from Iwo Jima, which he isn't in, but which he did direct.
Excellent movie.
Which just a couple years ago. And that is a really affecting, well-made film. So go check that out. Or Mystic River, or any number of dozens of Clint Eastwood performances from over the years. Excellent. I do not want to say anything bad about Clint Eastwood. This movie, however, I think ranks pretty low in his filmography, and I think that goodwill towards him it doesn't translate.
I will give you that the child actors were pretty awful.
Yeah, they were.
But they were, you know, they were raw, and I think he wanted authenticity. He wanted people possibly from the neighborhood. Who knows? I don't know much about that.
But I mean, I think even though they don't have a lot of experience, you have to have – I don't think it gives you the opposite of authenticity, because all you're thinking about is how unnatural their line readings are. So I don't know. I can't recommend this film, but I think I'm in the relative minority on this. So if you're a Clint Eastwood fan, maybe give it a shot. Gran Torino out on DVD this week, this coming Tuesday. But check out The Hangover in theaters. I think it's worthwhile. And there've been a number of good movies the last few weeks, which I think is good. We mentioned Up and Star Trek, Drag Me to Hell, which came out last week. And not a lot of people saw it. Kind of did middling box office, but I think that's entertaining, fun horror movie. So check all that stuff out. It's shaping up to be a better summer than I hoped for about a month ago, I think.
Yeah, I think overall, I mean, considering how the year started, it's actually turning into a pretty decent year for movies.
Yeah, well, let's not say that yet, but well, an okay summer so far.
Of course, yet to be where we've been to really understand that.
Yeah,
you know.
There was some dire stuff earlier this year, certainly. So it's improved. I will agree on that. So, all right. Well, my thanks to Ken Miller for joining me this week.
My pleasure.
And for Las Vegas Weekly, I'm Josh Bell.
Josh Bell hates everything.
That's right, including